you know, it's not every day that, you know, your number one overall pick potential quarterback has to go to the media and scold his grandpa. Well, that's what happened today in Texas with Arch Manning talking about the potential of him going back to Texas. And grandpa didn't exactly get the messaging correct, and he had to go back and retract that statement. To talk about all that and more on Chris Thomas tonight, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Bill Bender, senior writer, Sporting News. Bill, how shocked were you to read that headline today that QB1 for the Longhorns had to go out and publicly scold Grandpa?
A little bit, because it was believable what Archie said at first, knowing that Peyton played 4 years and Eli played 5 years, and you know, Arch hasn't started yet, and I wonder if we'll get the best out of him even next year. But certainly a lot of fascination around Arch as he gets ready to make his full-time debut next Saturday. I know I'll be there at the Shoe and super excited to see that game.
Julian Sain will be the opposing quarterback. I'm going to guess from you, especially hailing from that area, not a shock that he was named QB1.
No, but the battle that those two had was intriguing. You know, Lincoln Kienholz hadn't really played meaningful action since that Cotton Bowl loss to Missouri. So, yeah, I mean, they went at it. But I think Julian Sain was the guy, you know, gets the ball out, has good receivers. Sounds like, you know, he's making good decisions. I thought he played well in the spring game. So there's a lot to like about Julian Sain in that game. And, you know, as much hype as Arch is going to get, if Julian Sain has a big game and leads the Buckeyes to victory there, you know, he'll be right back in the Heisman race.
How much do you think the pressure that's on Texas this season to win is going to play a factor in that opening week?
Well, I mean, I think there's pressure on both teams. They played that classic last year. And, you know, Texas is kind of like, I do the basketball analogy. They've been to the Final Four a couple times now. So it's not about success, but it is about, you know, wearing that number one and trying to win a national championship, which the program hasn't done in 20 years. And if they can do those things, certainly, you know, it'd be a boon for Steve Sarkisian, who I think is a fantastic coach. But, you know, Texas definitely has the talent. I think they have four or five guys on our preseason All-America team. They did lose a lot to the NFL draft. One concern I have, Chris, is they did lose four starters on that offensive line, and they are going to a very hostile place. So that will be a key in that first game.
CJ Carr gets the nod at Notre Dame. What do you make of that selection?
Well, it sounded like that battle was tight as well with Kenny Minchie. And, you know, what I was hearing is like Minchie was really pushing for that. So, you know, CJ Carr's obviously, we know who his grandfather is, Lloyd Carr, and all the success he had at Michigan. I think he's really interesting, and that he's a five-star. Notre Dame isn't playing a transfer. It's kind of a tough opener, though. You know, Miami's going to be good with Carson Beck, and they've got some guys on both sides of their lines that are can really play. Potential first-rounder, Reuben Bain, for example, on the defense. So, man, I think that's going to be as close as the other two top 10 showdowns between LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State and Texas.
You mentioned LSU and Clemson. Cade Klubnik is getting all the run. Garrett Nussmeier not too far behind in terms of Heisman and potential and all that. Where do you stand right now with that matchup?
Well, I mean, we got to figure out who Death Valley is, right? Like, yeah. You know, if I were Clemson, I would be printing Death Valley Junior shirts left and right and, you know, kind of playing into what Brian Kelly said. I think it's a huge game for both teams, obviously. Cade Klubnik, he played well last year, but he struggled a little bit in those losses to the SEC schools. Brian Kelly, I don't have to tell you, lost five straight openers. So that really puts the pressure on both teams. I think as a coach, there's probably a little more pressure on Brian Kelly in this game, just knowing that he hasn't won an opener, and they tend to be very visible when LSU has lost these openers in recent seasons.
Speaking of SEC challenges, do you believe the hype in South Carolina? They got the quarterback, they seemingly have the coach, and they certainly got the love in the offseason in a top 15 ranking. Are you a fan?
Well, I mean, Lenore Sellers is getting a lot of Heisman hype, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he played well in some games. Now, we need to see them do it every week. I thought he played well in big games last year, and they closed the season hot, with the exception of obviously the bowl game loss to Illinois, which, you know, is the reason why Illinois is ranked ahead of South Carolina for a lot of reasons. But they're going to be pretty good. That's a really good sneaky game on Sunday, though, against Virginia Tech and Kyron Drones. He can play a little bit. Remember, they almost beat Miami on that Friday night game last year. I think that's a fun game and a chance for a standalone game for all of us to watch Lenora Sellers up close and personal.
Speaking of Miami, do you think they deserve the top 10 ranking?
You asked me too fast almost. Like, yes, but man, they got to go out and win some big games. And last year, take nothing away from them, 10-win season, you know, stubbed their toes a couple times. Cam Ward was awesome. I do think Carson Beck fits into what they want to do. At least that's what Mario Cristobal said a few times at ACC kickoff when I was down there. Carson Beck seemed to have no ill will toward Georgia. I think he is a very interesting quarterback for them if he doesn't turn the football over. And like I said, they've got some guys on the lines on both sides. So, you know, they're picked third in the ACC. Could they beat SMU? Sure. Can they win it over Clemson? I don't know if I'm there.
We're talking with Bill Bender, senior writer, Sporting News. Make sure you check him out there, covering all things college ball. Penn State, 2 in the top 25 AP, 3 in the coaches poll. I'm not hearing a ton of fanfare, though. I mean, I know they got Drew Aller coming back, but they're quietly just sitting there being regarded as a legit title contender. What's your feeling on them?
Well, that's been the question up here all summer, you know, like, can Penn State take over this Big Ten, you know, number 2 in the poll, just like Ohio State was last year, just like Michigan was the year before. So is it really their turn? And everybody's waiting to find out, you know, like 2 1,000-yard running backs, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, Drew Aller's 3-year starter, Zane Durant and Denny Denise Sutton on the defensive line. They're loaded. They're really loaded, but it's just, can they go out and do it? And I think, you know, we'll find out in those games against Oregon and Ohio State where, you know, I think James Franklin gets criticized a lot, unfairly so at times, about those big games. You know, as it was pointed out to me last week, how many have they been favored in? But, you know, the counter to that is at some point you got to go out and do it, and this is the perfect year for them to do it.
You think Michigan has enough on their roster to outlive all of the craziness that's gone on this summer?
Well, I mean, they just landed the top running back in the country for next year. I saw that today among the news. And, you know, I think if we get the Michigan that we saw in the bowl game against Alabama with Bryce Underwood, and if he is as advertised, I think he'll have some bumps as a 5-star freshman. But the talent's there on both sides. The confidence is there. We're going to find all we need to know about Michigan early in the season, though. They play at Oklahoma and at Nebraska. So those are a couple tough road games for any freshman, let alone a 5-star freshman. And I think we're going to find out what Bryce Underwood's all about.
Here in Georgia, all eyes on Gunnar Stockton. How soon do you think it'll be before we know, or we know that we don't know about Gunnar Stockton?
Well, you know, I liked what I saw out of Gunnar Stockton in the bowl game last year. I'm going to be honest. He, you know, there's a couple plays that come with experience, but I like his mobility. I don't want to make comparisons to Stetson Bennett yet, because Stetson did so much, but I like that mobility. I think Georgia is probably, you guys notwithstanding, the least we've talked about an SEC champion nationally, right? I mean, they're still Georgia, and they're still very good, and they still had 3 or 4 guys on our preseason All-American team, a couple guys on the defense like Bolden. I think Frazier's going to have a big year. I don't know that we'll learn much, obviously, in the opener against Marshall, but the schedule's a little friendlier. Those games are at home. I always remind people, I don't have the number in front of me. I feel really bad. They haven't lost a home game since, I'll put it to you this way. They haven't lost a home game since my 40th birthday. And it was that day. Then South Carolina beat them. I turned 46 this October.
Yeah, it's like 22 or 23 straight or something absurd like that. All right. So I think the problem here, though, is, Bill, Love to hear your opinion on this. I think Kirby did it to himself. I think he set the bar so darn high that now that even if he has a really good team as opposed to an all-time dominant team, that's not good enough.
Well, maybe, and I think that's fair. But I think, you know, Kirby handles this a little bit differently than his mentor Nick Saban did. You know, every summer Alabama was the lead story, right? Like, are they going to win it again? And I used to always make the joke the season doesn't really start until Alabama loses. But that was before Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC. And that was before the 12-team playoff. And that was before all these things. And you're right, Kirby, that 21 and 22 team, if the bar was set, that was pretty high how they set it, obviously, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I'm a Packers fan, and I think every Georgia player is on that team right now. You know, we draft one a year. It's almost like a quota. But I think it is, you know, what is success at Georgia? And again, they won the SEC, and they're still going to be in the mix, and they're still going to be very, very capable of winning a national title this year.
Speaking of Oklahoma, you think there's any pressure on Venables this year?
I do, and that's why that Michigan game is so interesting to me early in the season. You know, John Mateer was in the news last week. We don't have to review why. I mean, it was a very strange story, but he's super talented. They bring in Ben Arbuckle with him from Washington State, and, you know, the mobility, and he was among top five in total offense last year. So if he can get them going, that'd be nice. They're still tough to beat at home. I still think they need to figure out how to win on the road in the SEC, and that takes a few years. But, again, for as good as week one is, week two's pretty light with the exception of that Oklahoma-Michigan game.
Before I let you go, do you think Georgia Tech has a real shot to take down Colorado?
I do. What a fun game that's going to be. Two really good quarterbacks, Caden Salter, Haynes King, both, you know, prolific in how they run. And, you know, I think I did a stat today. I was working on a preview for week one. Between them, they average like 900 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns the last two seasons. So there's going to be a lot of exciting plays in that game. And I know in your listening area, our own Bill Troche, my editor, he's working on a piece about that split national title, which good luck explaining that to my 14-year-old son that, you know, once upon a time, Georgia Tech and Colorado split a national title because there were two different pools and two different champions. Part of me misses that world and part of me doesn't.
Yeah, well, sometimes you feel like a computer could make it simpler for us, and then we remember those couple of years that stand out like a sore thumb where you're like, this just isn't right, and that was certainly one of them. Bill, appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat soon.
Hey, I always love talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Right.
Take care.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, as always. All right, when we get back, let's hear from your Atlanta Falcons. I got A.J. Terrell, Casey Washington, David Sills, Zach Robinson, Zach Harrison. Yeah, you want all the latest sounds from practice at Flowery Branch? Look no further than Chris Thomas tonight. I'll also give you an update on the Braves. Yeah, we'll talk about it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Oh, my goodness, the Braves.